Well deserved.
Thank you for that. And I'm excited about this this recruiting class, your 2025 recruiting class, and obviously we'll have another signing day in February where we'll see how many guys will sign there. Recruiting is always a daily thing for us, and so once we get our guys and feel like we've got our depth and got the numbers right, we'll be able to kind of solidify about when the enrollment will take place. A good number of these guys, I think 8 of them, are going on missions first. But we're really excited about the group, excited about their families, and excited where they come from. They're a great fit to our program, not just on the field. I think they do some wonderful things on the field, but it's off the field and what they're about. Their vision and their goals are in alignment with what we are as a program, and definitely what we are as an institution. So I think these young men have done an amazing job and on the field and represent themselves in the classroom, and they're going to be great ambassadors for our program, and I'm excited to get them on board. And now that recruiting's a little different now than it has been, because a lot of commitments happen earlier, so you get guys that have been there, and it's just a matter of just signing and making it official. But most of the guys, I think recruiting has kind of been fast forward a little bit, which is fine, and we were able to recruit these guys and they've been most of them been committed for a long time, and it's just been nice to be able to already have a relationship. I think back in the day we would be on the phone till early in the morning, because just trying to talk to guys and trying to figure out what's the best fit for them and what decisions they're going to make, and then you have all those the hats choosing ceremonies, all that stuff. I like the way it is now. I like the less drama. Let's just get the guys announced and let's get them working on becoming a Cougar. But before I answer any questions you guys have, I just want to first express my appreciation and gratitude to everybody that's been involved in recruiting. I don't think our recruiting department gets enough credit, and I don't think they really care for it, but they work really hard, and everything they do with official visits, unofficial visits, all the content they put out there, even people that put our stuff on social media. I think that's everything plays into recruiting. And so when you look at what's done with the university, from the faculty to the staff to everyone that promotes the brand of BYU and that promotes definitely BYU athletics and BYU football specifically, I hope they know how much we appreciate them, because they're the ones that actually make the recruiting process a lot easier. So there's a bunch of people that have spent countless hours and sacrificed a bunch of their time and their life to our recruiting, and I hope they know how much we appreciate and love them. And then definitely want to express my gratitude to our staff, to our coaches that are doing the daily contact, finding these guys. I think the recruiting for us is a filtering process. We want to see if they're going to fit our program in a lot of different ways, and if they have the potential that can accomplish a lot of things as a person and as a football player. So they've done a great job at finding these young men that want to be at BYU for the right reasons, and we look forward to their mentoring and coaching them to achieve a lot of their goals on and off the field. And so, but I want to also thank the fans. They make it easy when these guys come to our games and they go to other sporting events at BYU, any activities at BYU on campus. It makes a difference, especially their interaction with the fans. So thank you to all Cougar Nation for being such a huge asset for us in recruiting. And last but not least, I want to thank the players for what they do and how they recruit for us, and just the connection that they have to each other. The fact that they live the life that you want to see, and they don't do it for just the cameras. They actually, our recruits get to see it in real life. They get to see it with their own eyes that there's a great connection here, and it's something that they really want to be a part of. And so that doesn't work unless you have wonderful young men on the team, and they've done a great job in making this a destination that people want to be a part of, regardless of their religious affiliation and their background. So we're looking forward to our bowl game and our prep, and looking forward to great things in the Big 12, and these young men will be a big part of what we what we're trying to accomplish as a football program. So, thanks, guys. What questions do you have?
Let's start with questions from Jared Lloyd, then Jay Drew, followed by Sean Walker.
Lonnie, first of all, congrats on the Hall of Fame induction, Polynesian Football Hall of Fame. That was awesome to see that news this morning. But talking about signing day, both Jay and A-Rod emphasized that this program is going to focus on bringing in high school athletes first and then filling holes with the transfer portal. That's different than some other institutions in the country. That's a different approach. Is that something that's been kind of intentional for your program, and why have you chosen to go that route?
Well, I think for us, we can kind of the transfer portal is hard because it's such a fast pace of recruiting, and how do you really get to know somebody? And if you look at the majority of people that we bring in, even through the portal, there's already a connection from before. And so one thing that we have to focus on is the culture of the team, protecting the culture. I think a lot of times people would look at talent and say, okay, that's the overriding factor that you want to be, that you want to be ahead of everybody else. But talent doesn't just get you wins. You still need culture. You still need strategy. You need all those things involved. And I think when they're formidable is when they're in high school. And when we can develop a relationship and see how what they're about is when we start recruiting these young men, have them in camps, have a connection to them. And not saying that we can't have connection to newbies, like people that just show up and we get to know them in recruiting. And that in the portal, that takes a little bit more finding out more about a person's character and who they are, you know. And you have to do a lot of reference checking in that one. But with high school recruiting, you can't really fake it. I think you get the guys that you know and what they can accomplish, and then you can really work them into. They're a great fit. They're adding to the culture. They're not just coming in here and feeding off of it. And that's you can get that done a lot easier and a lot better in high school.
NIL has also changed the game, and A-Rod emphasized that it's not going away. It's something you've had to adapt to. How, in your view, has it positively impacted recruiting? Just the fact that the money stuff is out there and has an impact.
Well, I think, NIL, it all depends how you structure NIL and how you approach it with rev share, things like that. I think for us, the focus isn't on the money. It's on what we're trying to get done as a football program. And so you have to have different ways of working with the money. But I'm not the money guy. So this is not my job. That's why we hired a general manager, so he can be the guy that you go to that can kind of organize that. And part of that is for us to show some responsibility in finances. And so educating them, but helping them with budget, understanding taxes, things like that. And the best way to do it is have a general manager and guys on the staff that can help them budget but also plan for the future. So I know there's a huge amount of money that's coming in through rev share. We're going to encourage our young men to save that for the future. Put it off to, think about your future and don't worry about the instant gratification of cashing out. I know that a lot of people are just doing a cash out and then just saying, hey, this is the money. We'll give you all the money. That's how can we be coaches that actually want to help them in every part of their life, but then not help them in the finances? So we have to have a great structure and a plan in place. And it's taken us a long time to get to where we're at. And I think we're in a good position. But the next step is the general manager and the rev share and educating our players, and they can go get that training from him and from others that are on staff. I think people have said that I haven't embraced NIL enough. I'm like, are you kidding? Everybody's going to embrace NIL if they have the money to make it work. My job is I'm embracing the young men, and I want them to have the money work for them and not them work for the money. It's the culture that we're trying to protect. And those of you that know anything about it, it's like money can change relationships really quickly, and you see how it's done it even in college football today. So we're not going to let that be a distraction to us, but we will definitely have a plan to help these young men. But really think about the future.
Go ahead, Jay.
Lonnie, I know you said something like 16 of the guys committed before the season started, but I'm just wondering what effect on recruiting has your success this season had, and will it maybe be manifest more next season or next recruiting class?
I think maybe, yeah, I think next class definitely does it. But even last year when we didn't have, I mean, it's not a conditional thing. Recruiting is not just, oh, you know, you strike while the iron's hot and now you've won games and so now you get to get the better recruiting classes. We still need the right guys, the right fit. That's our goal. Get the right fit to this school. And they want to be about what they want is aligned exactly with what the school is all about, and that's what we do in recruiting. I feel like the relationships that we have with them and the success that we have on the field that may get some attention and might get some eyes turned our way, but it's not the factor that we're relying on to be the huge, you know, the huge carrot that's dangling in front of all these recruits. The key is I want them to see being a part of this team. I want recruits to watch our team and say I want to be on that sideline. I want to be in that jersey and I want to play for those fans. And that's what we're trying to focus on.
Okay, Sean Walker, then Mitch Harper.
This is a little bit of a big picture question, Coach, but A-Rod, I kind of referred to you a little bit earlier as well, so I'll sort of launch the grenade, I guess. But how much of a did you guys sort of keep an eye on, or maybe just even keep in the back of your mind a little bit, that new 105-man roster, I guess it's a cutdown right now, when you were looking at this recruiting class and not just recruiting that? I mean, it's a little different to recruit to a 120-man roster, and if a guy can make that versus, you know, 20 or so fewer spots or whatnot. Was that kind of in the back of your mind with some of these guys? I know, obviously, it's a fairly recent thing, too.
Well, I think the recruiting classes are going to have to change because of that. So you can't really just sign a bunch of guys. And for us, too, it's the roster is limited. But recruiting for scholarships is still the 85. If a school chooses to add all 105 on scholarship, they can. But when you go from 123 for us to 105, you take 18 guys away. It's hard to think about that when you're planning. And this is every school has dropped their roster to 105. So the portal is going to be a very busy place in the next few weeks, and then also again later on in April. And you know, there's a lot of people that's kind of been left in the portal that didn't have a place to go, and I imagine that there's going to be enormous amount of young men, that just the numbers that they're going to have to find a home, and that's a struggle. I think you've heard a lot of coaches talk about it, that it changes everything. But from my perspective, it changes everything, even in planning for spring ball, planning for fall camp, and planning through the season, because you can't replace. I mean, the numbers just they dwindle, and so your scout team is going to be down a little bit. And so I think it's going to change the game, definitely. We just have to be on top of it and make a plan that's going to help us find some kind of competitive advantage, and that's what the goal is. But right now, we don't have to have that roster down until fall of 2025, but you're going to eventually have to get there, so you're going to start making some decisions as you start getting closer to that time. And it sucks, man, because we've needed a lot of those. I think of guys that are in that would be missed out in that spot on this team, guys like Tanner Wall and Crew Wakely, and you know, guys like Tyler Algier and some amazing players that have been in those 106 to 123 spots, you know. So that's going to be difficult to replace, and that's in every team has to deal with that.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Kalani, I wanted to ask you about the general manager role. How long has that been kind of in the works, that you wanted to have that position on your staff, and what were some of what you wanted out of the person that you ultimately ended up hiring in that spot?
Yeah, I wanted it since the finances became a deal, like NIL and all that stuff. And so I'm glad that we have it in place. We just didn't know all the details of it, because it was going to be fluctuating quite a bit. And now that the NCAA has kind of decided on rev share and kind of where NIL is going to be in 2025, We have to be ahead of it, and we have to be planning according to whatever's going to be out there. And Dave's done a great job at he's been in touch with everything, but he's also has that experience with his background in law that he's dealt with a lot of things and has interacted with the NCAA. Can kind of predict and see what's going to happen in the near future, and also plan for the future, which is what we want him to be with our players. And I'm not great at that stuff. So I can have a lot of people around me that know it, and Dave's one of them. He's going to be able to be in a position to help these young men talk about money and discuss the different options, but also look at the plan that we can have for them. And he's put together a very enticing schedule and plan for our players, and he's meeting with them and talking with them already, and it's stuff that I don't have to worry about. So it makes things a lot easier for me. I can just worry about coaching the team and going through what we're doing here. But we're aligned in how we see things. We're the same vision that although there is going to be money, the focus will not be money-driven. It's going to be on opportunities that are here and the experience of being a football player in this program. And then, like I said, really understanding how money can really help you in the future. That's where I think Dave's going to be the biggest help for us.
Next, we'll take questions from Kevin and then Jared.
Now that you've had this class signed, is there any position that you think is kind of a position of need still, whether that's kind of adding on to this class or the transfer portal in the coming weeks? Does any place stand out to you on this roster that needs some help?
I think a lot of different coaches have different strategies for how they're going to build their roster for 2025. I like what we're about. I'm not going to make statements and say we're never going to go do this. And we're always like, even though we have a good number of high school recruits that we have here, we have to be open to all of it. I have to be open to any players that can feed to our needs with depth and also talent. I mean, we're always open to bring good players in here, but they have to be a great fit. They have to be a great fit for our culture, for our school, and their vision has to be aligned with ours. And so if they want to be part of this team, it's not just only football. They obviously have to play some high level of football, but I want to see if they can bring a lot to the table with their personality, their character, and the relationships that they're going to have with their teammates. So if you look at it, a lot of people didn't really expect much from our team because we had a lot of the same guys coming back, and we added a few pieces. But it just goes to show that if you have a system, you have a culture, you build on it, it'll all work out, and you build it around a connection that these guys can have around together with each other. You know, that the concept of love does work, and the concept that we implement the gospel in our culture and in our football program, it does work. But it doesn't, you don't do it by, it's not just, it's all happy-go-lucky stuff, you know what I mean? Like, we hold each other accountable. We really focus on our guys doing things the right way. Is it perfect? No, but there's definitely a high level of accountability and responsibility for what they represent. And sometimes you put these huge expectations on them, but they have to meet your standard. And that's what we're trying to get done with this program. And it's working nicely right now.
Go ahead, Jared.
Well, we just had Senior Day, which was a chance to recognize, you know, the accomplishments of that group of individuals at the end of their careers. And here we are just a few days later, you know, lauding these young men who are making that transition from one point in their careers to now the being part of the BYU program. How fun is it every year when you get this opportunity with the potential of these guys and the hope of seeing them through the next, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it is, you know, as they make this transition?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then you see them, like, when they come in as a high school, coming right out of high school, graduating, or guys that have gone on missions and they show up right after their missions and they're still kind of, you know, they definitely don't have a tan and they definitely don't have, they're just not even developed yet, you know. And then to see them get older, get bigger, stronger, develop their identity, that they're already on a path to getting there, that It's like I'm just really proud that I get to be a part of their progress from a young man to an adult, and that they became the men that their mom and dad wanted them to become. And so, and then along the way, they've been able to pick up some amazing relationships, and some of them got married, some of them have babies of their own, and so you see this transition. And then, if I'm being honest, I can't believe that that I get to be a part of it. And so I love where I'm at. I love being connected to them and seeing the them go through different phases in their life. And, you know, it's interesting because I just, you know, we had some players that had children for the first time, and Hinkley Rapati is one of them. And I just keep thinking, like, man, it's come a long way, you know. And he's had some adversity in his life with injuries and loss of loved ones. And now he's I see him as a father, and that's one of the proud things that I get to see. It's like I get to see him make touchdowns and things like that, but I get to see him holding his baby girl, and that means a lot to me. And and it's one of those things. I'm like, just wait till you have this baby. You can't wait. I mean, it's gonna be, there's nothing like it. And because I remember when that happened to me. And so I get to see this from the best seat in the house, and then I get to stand on the sideline and see them make plays or make mistakes, and I get to be there with them through it all. So it's a fun ride. I love it.
We have time for one final question from Mitch Harper.
Kalani, you noted that you're expecting 8 guys to go on missions first. Out of the 10 remaining guys, how many are going to enroll in January at mid-year and compete in spring ball?
There's quite a number. Do you have that number, Brett? That's right. Oh, yeah. So we're thinking 4. Well, 6. So we're thinking 6 will probably be mid-year enrollees, but we're still working through that with some of them are trying to get their schoolwork done and then trying to get admitted. And then there's like a block of time that they can get it done. And then if they can't get it done, then they would have to enroll in spring. And so that's kind of that's the difficulty, is getting them here. But I think we're planning on 6, maybe a couple more. We'll see, but 6 for sure. And then with the transfer portal, you know, we it's always with the admissions, things that we have to work with. So I'm really thankful that BYU admissions and BYU administration has really been helpful with us in the timing of all of that. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen to the portal. I just know that we love our team currently where it's at, but we have to take a look at – we have a responsibility to take a look at who those that can fit BYU and then fit our culture. And I think that's – we'll see what that looks like. But it's going to be kind of wild right now with the portal, with the roster going down to 105, and with every school having to do that. And when they do that is going to be interesting.